Chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to preach a little sermon this morning out of verse 18 down to about 27. Verse 18 down to 27. We've got good news for you, for all of you who are depressed or still asleep. God's still alive. Amen. Amen. I used to like listen to Lester Roloff. He said, everything that ever was true still is true today. That's good news. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's good news if you're tired. It's good news if you're lively. It's good news if you're backslid. Amen. It's good news if you're right on the Lord's hip. Amen. Upslid. I suppose that's a thing. If you can backslide, I suppose you could upslide too. Amen. All right. Just slide up. Amen. Amen. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. Going to be a tough crowd this morning. Awful, awful lonely up here. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Anybody see one? Amen. The Lord, when he throws questions in there, it's good that you pay attention to what he's trying to tell you. If the Lord's looking for wise men to get his job done, where are they at? Where are they? And every one of you secretly are saying, well, I'm pretty wise, but this guy sitting next to me or this lady, you know, they're not too much, but I'm okay. And I know that to be a fact. Every man's right in his own eyes. You read that verse. You come through verses in the book of Proverbs that say stuff like that, and you think, yeah, people sure do think there's something. No, he was talking to you too. Yeah, but I'm saved now. Yes, and you think you're absolutely correct in all of your doctrines and all of your opinions. And therefore, you will never grow another ounce until God brings you to heaven. Amen? But we can be thankful for God's grace. He'll give you handfuls on purpose and let you sustain yourself and grow and get little helps. But I'm talking about real Christian growth doesn't happen until you just get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm a helpless little infantile idiot. And Lord, please help me along today. And he will help you along today, but not with attitude like you've arrived. Amen. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where's the man that can sit down and figure out what to say in God's place? You know what that is? A scribe in the Old Testament. A prophet speaks for God and the scribe would write the scripture down. That was their job. And the Lord here in the New Testament, he's saying, where's the man that's even worthy to sit down and write God's word? I marvel at the men who think they can correct God's word. They say, well, this word ought to be this and it ought to be that. Well, if we can just pick and choose, then I'll make it say what I want to say. Amen. I'll use the word ain't. Amen. I'll just use words I want to use. It'll just make it say what I want it to say, but it don't say what I want it to say. I've read the Bible several times, and it doesn't say everything that I want it to say. Amen. It says what it wants to say because it's God's word. Amen. Have you ever read through the book of Job? And there's several different opinions being thrown around. And all of those men of different opinions have correct things that they're saying. And I'll be reading one of the fellas that's arguing with Job, and they'll say something right, and I'll say, amen. Then I'll put my hand over my mouth. He's on the wrong side. I'm not going to take his side, amen. At the end of the story, the Lord says, Job was right. That's pretty good. And pray for your friends, Job. Amen. I don't want to be on their side. And some great truths were said, stuff that I believe very much and have an impact on the way I live my life were said by those other men. But I don't brag about those guys too much. Yeah. Amen. But anyway, you take it as it is. Where's the wise? I don't know. Where's the man that's able to speak for God? And where's the man that's able to write down things for God? And I probably started, you know, all these preachers writing books and stuff, and I've sat down many times because I feel like I got things to say just like you do. I think I'm just as wise as you think you are. And I begin to write it, and about, you know, I've got some almost down to the last chapter, almost done. Then I said, ain't nobody want to hear that. Let's stick with the book. Amen. I'm afraid a lot of times Christian writers distract people from God's word. I feel like that. That's not to say I haven't read Christian books. I've read Christian books. Of course, they're not the Amish books you've been reading, you know, with the Amish little sweetheart on the cover, and, you know, she's had a bad day, and she's just trying to cope with it. I don't read stuff like that. If I did, I'd be as wishy-washy in my brain as you are. And if that makes you mad, I don't care. If you want to get upset over your little Amish novels, you get upset over that stuff. I don't care. I don't care if you read them. I don't care if you don't. They just don't mean that much to me. Amen. But I tell you what, the book of Job is pretty good, and the book of Daniel, the book of Matthew. I recommend 1 Corinthians for you carnal folks, 2 Corinthians. Yeah. Amen. Because as carnal as the folks were in 1 Corinthians, Paul opens it up, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. That's pretty good news to know that you've been as carnal as you've been, and I've been as carnal as I've been. And God would still offer me an offering of grace and mercy and peace. Not just peace, but peace multiplied. That's pretty good to me. I like it. Amen. Lets me know I'm headed somewhere. Amen. Where God promised me I'd go, I'm headed there. What God promised me he'd give me, I'm a recipient of those things. And those are good things as well as bad. You reap what you sow. So bad things, you're going to get them. Amen. But you've also hopefully sowed some good things along the way, and those things will come up by God's grace. Amen. But when it comes to just being wise enough or smart enough or intelligent enough to figure out what God wants to say to somebody in and of yourself, there's just not many folks that fit that bill. Matter of fact, I don't know any. Not one. Well, I know this. Only God. Amen. Only God. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Did you know God's a better plan maker than you are? Did you know God can run a church better than you can? And did you know when you come to church and you sit in your pew and you have your idea about it should be done this way or it should be done that way, that there's a better plan than the one you've got? And most of us see the operation of the church. We see the operation of the buses. We see the operations of visitation. We see the operations of the ladies' meetings. We see the operations of all these different little segmented, streamlined parts of the church. We see them from our own vantage point rather than God's vantage point. Well, I think it ought to be done this way. Well, God didn't ask you. Amen. And to be quite honest, God didn't ask me. Amen. If I get to running it the way I thought it should be, or if any pastor gets to run it the way he thinks it ought to be, it's run wrong. It's run wrong. And I can tell you from pastoring for just a little while, 10 years in a little bitty old town, which I thought was sufficient, amen. But at any rate, a lot of people's got ideas. Amen. Some of them are good ideas. You know, a good idea can be wrong. Hey, preacher, I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard this. Brother Allen probably tell you the same thing. Hey, preacher, it'd be a good idea if we done this. Be a good idea if we done that. Well, there's a couple of things that goes into consideration before I make you mad by telling you no. Amen? One is it in the Bible? Is it part of the plan that God made? And number two, got awful quiet right there. That should have been the part you should have been saying, amen, I like that. Yeah. This is the part that you should have got quiet about. God didn't call you to come up with no ideas. That's number two. Hey, preacher, I was just thinking that it'd be a good idea that we start this or do that. You and God come up with that, did you? You mean God called me to pastor this church and then he went behind my back and talked to you about it? How dare God? Now, pooch out your little lip and go home and cry about it and find a Methodist church to go to. But God uses the pastor to direct the church. And I think this, if a pastor is sincere and trying to do the right thing, he'll stick up with the God, not he. God will stick up for the pastor above your snobby, bigoted, pharisaical sometimes biblical ideas. I think it ought to be done this way. Go start you a church. I don't like this church. I don't like the way things go. And yet here you are. Amen. Amen. Where's the wise? I think it ought to be done this way. You're the wise one, are you? Chapter and verse. Well, here's the chapter and verse to back up what I'm saying, Brother Mike. Okay, get in your prayer closet and pray about it. Oh, God, I think this is going to hurt us. I think this is wrong. I don't think that. Go pray about it. Go pray about it. I don't know any two pastors, a pastor, associate pastor, two pastors of different churches. I don't know any two of them that would agree on every aspect of every way of doing things. But there is a place in prayer, and there's a place in the Bible where you can get together with God and talk about the things and not let the bitterness eat you up. I don't think it, man, you don't know what it's like. Sometimes you get a church with 15 people, everybody's needs are all satisfied. You get a church with 300 people in it, though, and everybody doesn't have time to worry about you all the time, nor worry about what you think. Preacher, I'm not satisfied with what's going on around. I don't even know your middle name, man. I'm just not that worried about the way you're thinking about things. I've got God to worry about, and boy, that's why Paul says pray. When he's talking about the whole armor of God, he says, you put on this, and you put on that, and you put on this, and pray for me. That's what Paul says. If you don't think that's typical of the way a church ought to work, then you're sadly mistaken. You're sadly mistaken. Sadly mistaken. Amen? And so you don't have to agree with everything. You do have to have a right spirit, though. Amen. And a right spirit, a wrong spirit's always going to put you in a place where you can't benefit. All you can do is get bitter. A right spirit is going to put you in a place where you're going to have peace, but not only that, you're going to open yourself up to the situation where somebody might know more than you. And I've said it before. I said it just a few minutes ago. Everybody thinks they're right. Amen? And I've had young guys come up to me in the last 10 years and say, well, Brother Mike, I just think it ought to be this way. How long you been saved? Well, I've been saved a little while. How long have you been studying your Bible? Well, I've been studying my Bible a little while. Well, I guess you're qualified. I guess you figured it all out. You spent 35 days in the bar and you spent 2 days in your Bible. And that, but you're right with God and you've got this emotional high. Now you've got it all figured out. Amen? Pastor called me over the weekend, said, I've got this lady who come to me. She keeps coming to me and says, I want to lead the ladies. He said, Brother Mike, what should I do about this lady who wants to lead the ladies? I said, well, I'll tell you what I would do. I don't know what you're going to do because that's the church you pastor, but I'll tell you what I would do. If a lady in the church come to me and said, Brother Mike, I would like to lead the ladies, I would say, well, that's good. That's wonderful. I'm glad you've got that desire in your heart to want to lead these ladies. Let me just ask you one question. Do you think you're more qualified than, say, my wife to do that? And if she said yes, I would laugh in her face. I would. Amen? You think what you want to about your wife. I've lived with mine for 20 years. I know what she's capable of. And I know what this other person's capable of. And they're not the same. That's just the way I would answer a question like that. A lot of people think they're qualified to do it. You just don't know what you don't know yet. Amen? That's the way to do it. Hey, oh, Pastor, I think I'd like to lead this part of the ministry. Okay, do you think you're more qualified to do it than, say, Brother so-and-so? Well, I'll pray about that. Yes, that's what you should do. Because we don't have the wisdom that we think we do. Great ideas. There have been people in the Christian church over the years that have come up with great ideas. They're just not God's ideas. God's got a better idea. I've got a great idea that we can put people's rear ends in the church seat. We can really fill this place up. But God's already got an idea. Well, you haven't heard my idea yet. I'm closed-minded. I'm not going to listen to it or entertain it because the Bible is supposed to be our standard. It's supposed to be our guide. It's supposed to be the creed by which we live. We don't need a Philadelphia creed or a Nicene creed. We got a Bible. Why learn a catechism? Well, if you go into the Presbyterian church, you've got a larger and a smaller catechism. Why learn those if you have a Bible? Well, these are all great ideas. Well, I can't memorize all of that. Well, make an effort. Amen. I haven't got all the Bible memorized. Have you, Brother Ken?
Yes, sir.
We're trying, though, ain't we? I'm going to memorize it all. When are you going to do it? By the time I die. Or 3 seconds after. Amen. 3 seconds after I'm dead, I'll have it done. You want to hear Romans chapter 5, do you? Too bad. The Lord won't let me talk to you now. I'm dead. Amen. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is. In this life, we're feeble. We're going to come up with good ideas. Hey, if we put this plan into practice, we'll be running 500 in just a couple of months. Just don't try that one, okay? Probably a good idea. It'll probably work, but it's not God's idea.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what this chapter is actually saying, by the way. And boy, I made this thing out. It's an outline. I've been trying to use these. I think preaching is better when you're prepared, but sometimes stuff just comes down from the heavens, and you better let God have his voice. Amen? But he says in verse 20, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Now we'll go back up to verse number 18. I would give you the sermon title, but I want to give it to you one word at a time. Amen? We'll kind of put it together. It's like the mystery sermon title. And we'll put it together as we go through it. Verse number 21. Well, let me read verse 18 again, because we might make a few comments on that. If we don't get everything done this week, we'll come back next week. Amen? For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I wonder if you think just preaching the same old thing year after year after year, I wonder if you think that's a foolish idea. A lot of people do. You know, we need some lights in here. We need some smoke rolling out underneath. Amen. Now, if the pastor's in there smoking a cigar, there might be some smoke rolling out from the doors. But that ain't likely to happen, is it? We don't need no smoke and mirrors, and we don't need anything like that. All we need is to preach the gospel. It's... Amen. At least we know he's listening. Amen. We don't need smoke and mirrors. We need the preaching of the gospel. Amen. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Wouldn't you like to get a hold of the power of God?
Yeah.
When you need your prayers answered, wouldn't you like to have a hold of the power of God? Be close enough to God to get your prayers answered? I would be happy just to have my prayers heard. Amen. I would like to get all the answers that I want. I want God to say yes to this prayer. I hope he does. I want him to say yes to that prayer. I hope he does. When my enemies are praying that God kills me, I hope he says no to those. Amen. Amen. But some folks are probably saying, I wish the Lord would teach him to talk correctly. I hope he never does that. I hope I never lose a little draw. Amen. A little improvement never hurt. But just some prayers I hope God answers, and some I hope he doesn't answer. But I'd be satisfied if he heard them. And my Bible tells me that he does hear him, because I'm washed in his blood, I'm indwelt by his spirit, and not only does he hear my prayers, but sometimes he just laughs at those. What a strange animal this is praying to me. So he listens to the Holy Spirit that's praying from within my heart. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us, Romans chapter 8, that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Amen. And it's far more mysterious and far more grand than anybody putting on the fact that maybe the Spirit praying for you is some type of tongue speaking or something like that. It's a lot better than that. Amen. It's when you really, 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 really think you need one thing to happen, and the Holy Spirit is saying, Lord, don't let that happen. If that happens, that'll ruin his life. If that happens, it'll change everything for the worse. But do this for him, and when God answers that prayer, everything's wonderful and everything's joyous, and get the peace of God in your heart. That's the kind of prayers you want answered. I'm glad that he hears my prayers. I'm just more thankful that he puts more weight in the prayers of the Holy Spirit than he does in mine. Amen. Because I'm not wise enough to pray for myself. You give a kid a choice between green beans and chocolate and see which one he takes. And that's your prayer life, whether you know it or not. Lord, I'll take all the chocolate, please. I want perfect health and money and a good car. Amen. A bumper crop this year would be fine, Lord. Amen. That's the way we pray. It'd be wonderful if it all worked out like that. But, you know, that chocolate rots your teeth. Yeah. Amen. Amen. It surely will. First thing you know, you'll be reveling in all the wonderful things, all the wonderful answers to prayer that God's given you. You forget there's a world out there dying and going to hell. Amen. I didn't say there's a world out there having bus wrecks and surviving typhoons. I said there's a world of people out there dying and going to hell. If you want to worry about the global situation, you worry about that global situation. I got news for you. People are dying and going to hell all around the world, whether in typhoons or not, whether in helicopter crashes or not. Brother Mike, you're so hard. I'm not hard about stuff like that. I'm reasonable about things like that. Amen. The fact that you're not reasonable is causing you your own problems, not causing me any problems.
That's right.
Amen. Watch Fox News all day and worry about what's happening in D.C. It's not bothering me. Brother Mike, I'm so stressed. Not me. Not about that. Amen. God said something about in here somewhere what would be happening in D.C. in these last book of Daniel or somewhere like that. You check it out. Amen. He said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. The power of God. That's what I'm interested in. Aren't you? Look in verse number 21. It says, for after the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God. It pleased God. There's the first word in the sermon title, God. God. That's a big word. Little three-letter word, but that's a big word. Amen. It pleased God. That's the first word in the sermon title. That's the top of the ladder, folks. God. God. Jeremiah 23, 24 says, can any hide himself in the secret places? That's a good question. God asks a lot of questions in the Bible. You should try to find them. Can any hide himself in the secret places that I shall not see him? God sees you. God. The last part of the verse says, do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord? That's a big, God, that's a big, that's a big space to fill. That's a lot, amen? If you sold all you had for money, everything you now possess, if you sold it all for money, if you had all the money you've ever made in the past, and all the money you have right now, and all the money that you will ever have for the rest of your life, if you had it all right now in your little hands, it wouldn't fill that pew you're sitting in. Just your whole worth, your whole value, amen? Wouldn't fill that pew you're sitting in. You ever thought about your total worth? I know you've had Dave Ramsey, so you've probably thought about all your assets and all that kind of stuff. But if you had all your assets together, wouldn't fill that pew you're sitting in. If you had all the books you've ever read, wouldn't fill probably the smallest wall in your house. Build a little bookshelf on the smallest wall of your house and put all your collected knowledge in that one bookshelf. Probably wouldn't fill up one shelf. Some of you probably read more than others. Some of you probably know more than others. But in the grand scheme of things, you ain't much. Brother Mike, why do you have to be so down on us? Well, you've got such high expectations of yourself, you keep letting yourself down, therefore you stay depressed all the time. So I don't recommend self-esteem, I recommend Christ's esteem. Boy, this God I got sure is wonderful. or this life I've got, it sure is terrible. Who made your decisions for you? The devil made me. No, he didn't. The devil has no omnipotence. He's not all powerful. He can't make you do anything. He's a good tempter. There's no question about that. But all your decisions that led you to this point, you made those. So you're trying to make me feel bad? No, I'm trying to make you feel good. I'm trying to make you say, God, I am sorry. I will get on a knee and bow it to you and say, God, now you have your turn running my life. And every once in a while, I'll get mixed up in your business and mess things up. And then forgive me when I do that. Amen. Pray about the future. Amen. Solomon did that for the temple. He said, now, Lord, whenever anybody gets in here and starts praying, let your spirit come down. You do that too. Lord, I'm going to give my life to you now. And from time to time, I'm going to mess it up. But when I pray and ask you to forgive me, would you? Yeah, he'll answer that prayer. Amen. Lord, forgive me for all the stupid mistakes I've done that's brought me to this depressing point in my life. And then take me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. That's going to help.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right. You say, why? Because we're not the wise. We're not the scribes. We're not God. God fills heaven and earth. We don't even fill a church pew or a big recliner. One of our church members down there in Georgia had a furniture store, and I'd go over there and talk to him from time to time. We'd sit down in his recliners, and he had some great old big recliners. I'd sit down in one of them, and I'd look like a little kid with my feet barely hanging over the edge, just sitting there like that. And he's a great big man, 6'6", and probably weighs 300 pounds. He'd sit down that thing and fill the whole thing out. I thought, that one's custom made for you. But that recliner's probably not going to sell because there's not many people that big to have to need one like that. Well, God needs a big chair. You don't need one. You don't need one. You don't need a big opinion of yourself. You don't need a high estimation of great things out of your own mind and out of your own heart, but you need an expectation that a big God is going to be there to provide the power when you need it. Amen. And he will be. God, we're talking about a big God. Amen. You know, God doesn't need any books. All the books that God has are for man's benefit. He's got a book with names in it. That's to your benefit or for your judgment. You're not in my book, son. Those books are for God's, those books that belong to God are for man's benefit. Can you imagine if, you know, God doesn't need to refer to the Lowe's manual to change a doorknob or look up on YouTube. Now I've really made a mess of this church thing. Maybe I need to look on YouTube and find out how to do things. But that's what preachers do. Oh, the church is falling apart. I don't know what to do. Let me get on YouTube and find out what Dr. So-and-so is doing to get such a great crowd. He's probably compromising. Amen. He's probably putting on a rock concert or dealing with people's emotions.
Amen.
Stop dealing with your emotions. I know you got them. Go home and cry it out. I know you got them. But while you're crying, call out to God and say, God, help me. I need your help over here. Man. But you keep relying on people to come hug your neck. And that leads to more. Suppose 20 people hugged your neck today and only 10 people did tomorrow. Well, tomorrow's going to be worse than today. You need a God that can give hugs all the way from heaven, amen?
Amen?
Oh, and you'll love that saying. You'll probably write that down in your Bible. Brother Mike said, you need a God that can give hugs from heaven. And you ain't heard nothing else I've said, amen? Hallmark Christianity, amen. For you men now that feel a little less manly, we'll go shooting after church, amen? Amen. But that's all true stuff, amen? God doesn't need any books. God's books are centered around and for the benefit of his creation. Amen? That's absolutely true. Now, the rest of the things that are going to go on in this sermon, the opinions expressed in the rest of the, you know how they do these political commercials, are they're God's. This is not like a theological debate that's going on in this chapter. God is saying this is the way that this works. God. It starts with God. So you want to build a home, Brother Joe? Start with God. The Bible says that we can have a sound mind. You want that? Starts with God. It doesn't start with your pastor. It doesn't start with your assistant pastor. It doesn't start with the deacons. It doesn't start with how many ladies hug you around the neck. It doesn't start with that. Amen. It doesn't start with that. It starts with your relationship to God. Your relationship to God. Amen. Brother Mike, I don't have enough friends. You need a friend, I'll be your friend. But my friendship is not going to benefit you like a relationship with God, a relationship you have by being saved. Fellowship, that's that friendship that you need. The friendship you need is the fellowship. Amen? That's absolutely true. I wish you'd get that. Amen. These opinions, not just opinions, they're actually biblical facts. They're God's, they're right, they're not debatable, they're not dependent upon your opinion, and they're not dependent upon any other scripture you can find anywhere else that says anything else that you think might be related. These things are true. God, look in verse number 27, second word of the title. But God hath chosen the foolish things. You know what the foolish things are? The foolish things are those things back up in verse 21 that pleased him. Amen. God chose. If God chose something, that'd be a good choice, wouldn't it? Have you ever heard of women's choice? Everybody in the building, when I said women's choice, you know the topic we're talking about, don't you? Women's choice. I believe in women's choice, matter of fact. I believe in a woman's right to choose. You choose to have a marital relationship. Whether you're married or not, you choose to have a marital relationship, there's consequences. Amen. Let me tell you this. Rights do not extend to consequences. Amen. You got a right to have a gun? Absolutely. You shoot somebody with it, your rights are gone. You better have been right. Amen? You choose to have a marital relationship, it better be right, because when the consequence comes, you're either going to face up to your responsibilities or you are going to be a murderer. Amen. Amen. You and your husband or boyfriend or whatever the case may be. Amen. Amen. That's a choice. See, you don't get to make choices that much. God gives you a few choices in life and then they have repercussions all through your life. Amen. Made some bad choices, and you've got consequences now, get married. Amen. That's the right choice. Amen. Amen. That's the right choice. Amen. Choices. But people like to think they have a choice in a lot of things when we really ought to be concerned with God's choice. What does God choose? Amen. What does God choose? And I like when we get to the third part of the sermon title here, because that's one of the greatest things in life for me. Sometimes I sit around and pat myself on the back. God chose the one thing I like the best. He didn't ask me about it. He didn't ask me about it at all. But God chose. God has a choice, amen? And those choices that you make are going to have consequences, amen? But God chooses some things. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. The word of God is going to accomplish that which he pleases. And the Bible says, it shall prosper whereunto I sent it. Does it say that? Anybody got that verse memorized? Did I quote it correctly? I didn't quote it correctly, did I? I said, it shall prosper whereunto I sent it. But it actually says, it shall prosper in the thing. See them little phrases in your Bible? You got to look at it carefully when you're reading your Bible. The Word of God is going to prosper in the thing. In this case, 1 Corinthians chapter 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I'll tell you what, the Word of God will accomplish some things in the thing, like the preaching of the cross. The Word of God prospers in the preaching of the cross. Well, see, I've got this book here, and I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to get something out of it, and it's going to really help me, and it's going to change my life, and it's going to benefit me. That's the wrong attitude with which to read the Bible. You pick up the Bible, and you say, whose book is this? It's God's book. Whose will is revealed? Is my will revealed in this book? Now, this book can reveal my will. It can say, your will's pretty messed up. Amen? It can say, in this case, your will's okay. That's right to want. It can tell you things about your will. But when you pick up the book, whose book is it? It's God. Whose will is revealed in this book? God's will is revealed in this book. For whose good pleasure was this book written? For mine? Of course it's for God's. Ephesians chapter 1, read about that good pleasure. Am I telling the truth right there? Yes, sir. You read the Bible like that and start finding out what God's good pleasure is and say, Lord, I've come woefully short right there. Oh, God, forgive me on that one. No wonder. Lord, no wonder I'm having such hardship. Look how far out of your will I am. And you begin to act like that and think like that and respond like that. And God says, now, my son, I'm going to tell you exactly how to fix that. And God will say, I certainly don't want anything more for you today than just for you to get that little thing right there fixed. I'm not going to talk to you about your poker playing. I'm not going to talk to you about your card scratching down at the 7-Eleven. I'm not going to talk to you about any of those things. Today we're just going to deal with this one little thing and get that fixed. And tomorrow we'll look at something different. Amen. But the Bible says it will prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. In the thing, in this case here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's the preaching of the gospel. Well, I think we ought to put on a play. I can't find a play. Except for there is a play in the Bible, not the Christmas play, the little baby Jesus. That's the only play I approve of most of the time. But listen, the Bible says we don't use fables. You look up in the dictionary what a fable is. It's a play. Well, I think a play can, a play can really reach out to a lot of drama queens, which most of you are. Well, I really choose the plays because it really reaches. Well, God chose preaching. That's true, whether you like it or not. Amen. Amen. Do what you want to. This life is full of decisions you make. Amen. Decide to do what you want to. But God chose, say, well, I'd really like to get a lot of teenagers saved. Preach! Amen. Well, they won't respond to preaching. So we change. Let's look up to YouTube and find out how to reach children. Well, brother so-and-so does it this way. I don't care what brother so-and-so does. What's the Bible say to do? The Bible says that his word will accomplish the thing in the thing whereto he sent it. The preaching, that's foolish. Just preach. Just preach. That's foolish. That's foolish. Well, the third word in verse number 18 for the preaching, that's the third word in the sermon title. God chose preaching. Are you lost? You're on your way to hell? Never been saved? I'm not talking about praying a prayer. I'm talking about a conversion, a place where you come to the point and said, I am lost. I'm hopelessly lost. I'm helplessly lost. I've never been to the place where there has been a real change to where God actually took my life and turned me around. We're not talking about this man-made repentance stuff where I was walking in sin, then I turned from my sin. I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about a real repentance where God took your life and put it on display in front of your eyes. Hey, Brother Joe, you know how good looking I am. Boy, listen, I know that I'm the best looking man on the planet, but then I look in a mirror and say, maybe I'm not. That's the way everybody looks at themselves. I'm right about everything I believe in the Bible. I'm right about everything I believe at work. I'm the best worker my boss has. I'm the best driver. I'm a lot better driver than my wife. We all look at ourselves that way. I'm a good-looking man. I'm a strong man. Some woman might say, I would not say it, but some woman might say, I'm a good-looking woman. No Christian man or woman thinks that way, do they? Mm-mm. But that's the way people act and think all through their life. And one day God comes in, steps in and says, this thing about your self-justification, that's wrong.
Amen. Amen.
And proves it to you by the scripture. And probably by preaching or a witness. Because let's face it, you weren't reading the Bible when you got saved. Somebody might have gave you a Bible or somebody might have witnessed to you and got you interested. But when they did that, you weren't on the, you know, you weren't on the Sunday school readers list and stuff like that. You were going your own way and God interrupted your life and showed you you need to be saved. You've never been, God said to you as plainly and clearly as he's ever spoke, you need to be saved. You must be born again.
Amen.
You did. If he's never done that, I hope he does it this morning and that you'd get saved.
Amen.
Not get in the church, not find a bunch of friends. You know, a lot of people are going to go to hell from Baptist churches because they found a bunch of friends.
Right.
In a church that would instantly, when they first came in, people gathered around them, oh, let me help you out. Oh, we want to be your friend. We want to love you. And we're glad you're part of our family.
Yeah.
And they just slipped in and that. So they were so enamored with that reaction from people that they just nudged right in there and agreed with everything just so they could keep that familiar environment. Which I love that familiar environment. You take it away from me, I'll get mad. But I think the thing that first needs to happen to a person when they come through the door, that's why the gospel ministry, a lot of it needs to be done out there. And the Christian building ministry needs to be done in here. That's absolutely right. There's no question about that. You go in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You witness to them out there. You give them the gospel out there. You plant the, you're a sinner out here. When they get saved and come in the church house, you preach to them and edify them and build them up and so forth and so on. A lot of people are going to go to hell from the Baptist church being hugged to death.
Right.
Amen. That's true.
Amen.
It's rough. That's sandpaper. I'm mad at you for talking like that, Brother Mike, but it's the most loving message you've ever heard. If you have never been saved, God chose preaching, the preaching of the cross, not just preaching, but the preaching of the cross to save them that believe. Amen. Now, let me ask you, I ask you if you're lost, are you saved? Let me ask you this. Do you believe? Well, the verse we read down in verse 27 that said that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, you can look at that definitely in the aspect of getting lost people saved, but I also look at it in the aspect of this. I believe, and there are many situations in my life that I need salvation from. I need salvation from temptation.
Amen?
I need salvation from me. I need salvation from my own mind and my own thoughts and my own stubbornness and my own pride and a whole lot of yours.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. If you're going to deal with people, you need salvation. Amen. Amen. Anybody ever worked in the nursery?
Yes, sir.
You know what nursery workers need? Salvation. Amen. Amen. That's true. You know what people with depression need? They need salvation. Mm-hmm. It's real.
Yep.
Not saying it ain't real. I'm just saying you're taking the wrong medicine.
Yeah.
Amen. Very sympathetic with you. I'll tell you what, the worst days that I have are the days after I preach. I sit around sometimes and just, I'm the dumbest man on the planet. I should have said it this way. I should have done it that way. Just, it's terrible. It's a terrible thing. But you know what you got to do? You got to have the right answer. So what do? God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Brother Joe, I'm a believer.
Amen.
I'm not a skeptic. I've got a 40-some point outline on the Christian identity. Point number one is believers believe. That's how you identify a believer. You say, well, I'm a skeptic. Well, I don't like you. I think you're lost. Now, you should be skeptical of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But there's not much call to be skeptical of a preacher. If you're a believer and you love the truth, God will show you the difference between truth and error. Save you from bitterness. So, well, I need a Christian therapist. I don't. I would like to introduce you to my therapist, Dr. Peter S. Ruckman. Harold Seitler.
Amen.
One of my therapists is Alan Ryman.
Amen.
How you like that? One of these days I want to meet a therapist and say, where did you go to school? You're a therapist, huh? You went to Harvard? Wow. I've got a therapist too. He quit school in the eighth grade. That's why I'm so sound mind. I'm so even keeled because I got a therapist that quit school in the eighth grade. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They don't believe and they're not taking the right medicine. God chose preaching. So, Brother Mike, did you go watch God's Not Dead? No, I knew that already. Brother Mike, did you go watch Courage? No, I got some already. I learned how to be a good dad in 1975. 76, 78, 81, 85. Listen to a good preacher. Brother Mike, did you watch Left Behind? No. I don't have no fears of that. And the information you get off the movie Left Behind will send you to hell. Listen, if you get left behind the rapture and you find an old empty church somewhere and get on your knees and ask God to save you, that ain't going to work. That's not going to work. God save me. Could I get that mark of the beast, please? You know what? You could type 666 across my forehead right now, and it ain't going to change nothing. After the rapture takes place, you better leave it alone. Amen? You need the right medicine. You need preaching. You need more preaching. This preaching is so boring. Tells me a lot about your makeup. Amen. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for saving us. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for preaching. In an age where there's so much cell phone and so much electronics and so much stuff going here and there and everywhere and so many plans and so many counseling programs and all this stuff that may have their place somewhere in the world, I thank you, God, for preaching. I thank you for your plan. I thank you, God, for the way you come up with things. I thank you, God, for your word that keeps me safe from all these things that are not profit. And Lord, I thank you, God, for the profit that will come in the long run just by believing your word and hearing it preached and hearing it proclaimed by a good witness or a good testimony. And I thank you, God, for your goodness. Help us, God, to cleave unto preaching and to love it more and more in a day and time where so much psychology abounds and humanism is at the heart of most of it, even in the Christian circles. I pray, oh God, that you would help us to have a revival of a love for your word and the preaching of it. And I thank you, God, for those old preachers, Harold Seitler and Carl Lackey and Lester Roloff and many, many like that, God. I thank you for the preaching of the word that stood forth, God, for great principles and wonderful truths. And all these men had faults and failures, but by your grace, you lifted them above those faults and failures and brought out the truth that is in God's word. And I thank you, God, for all you'll do from this point out, God. We hope to stay close to you, and we pray to stay close to you, and we pray you'd help us through that most wonderful of all medicines, God, the preaching of the word of God. In Jesus' name, we ask these things this morning. Amen. Amen. Take a little break this morning.